Let's just pray once again. Father, as we now come to your word and listen for what it is that you're saying to us, please open our hearts, open our ears, make us responsive to what it is that you're saying. Give me clear words, help us all to understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why have you come here this morning? Just turn to the person next to you. In a few words, tell them why you are here today and not lying in bed catching up on your sleep. All right, that's quite enough words. Give me some responses. Why are you here? Somebody shout out some ideas. Because you wanted to come. Thank you. Why else? To worship the Lord. A few worships. Sorry, what was that? Pray and praise. Thank you. To see your family. Excellent, thank you. And what was this one over here, sorry?
To please one of the person next to me.
Thank you, excellent. Any others? Nobody's mentioned the coffee yet, obviously. I'll have to improve that. All right. Some good answers there. Some things that we would expect, some maybe that we might not expect. Let me ask another question. I wonder why God has come here this morning. Now, I know it's in some ways that's a slightly silly question, because of course God is here every morning, and he's everywhere else every morning as well, and he's everywhere else every afternoon and every evening as well. But there is something peculiar that goes on here on a Sunday morning when we meet together. Jesus said something really interesting about this to his disciples. If you want to look it up to check the context, it's in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. This is in the middle of a section where Jesus seems to be talking about a whole range of different things, and I'm not going to be doing a study on how all these link together. But he says this in the middle of the section. This is Matthew 18, from verse 19. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. There I am with them. With us. Here. Today. In other words, God is here today in the Victoria Park Centre in order to be with us. Now, maybe stating the obvious, but actually if you think about that, that is quite extraordinary. Let me just explain where I'm going with this sermon today. I want to talk about encountering God, meeting God, being in tune with God, hearing God, listening to God, speaking with God, being with God, encountering God. And the reason I'm saying that now, and trying to make it clear what this is about, is because in some ways I've been struggling to see where I've been going myself with this. I've had so many different thoughts flying through my mind as I've been preparing today's sermon, and I've really been finding it hard to make a clear, consistent, well-rounded, well-shaped message out of them. But that's okay, because the most important thing that we are here to do today is not to hear a great sermon. Listen, I'm a preacher. I believe in preaching. I believe that God has gifted me to preach and teach, and that's an important element of our lives together as we learn to follow Christ. But God didn't say that his house was to be a house of preaching. I hear you had some great worship last week with Ralph and Lorna leading, and it's so great that we're beginning to get some more musicians and worship leaders here with Ralph and Lorna and Fiona and Emma and John and Janet. And I'm very much hoping that God will bring us some more, because I believe that praise and worship is really important too. And that will always be a key part of our meetings. But God didn't say that his house was to be a house of music. What God says, and he says this is in Isaiah 56, and then Jesus quotes it in Matthew 21, is this: my house will be called a house of prayer. And prayer, just to fill in the dots, is about talking with God, meeting with God, encountering God. And yes, I know that we can meet with God in praise and as we study the Bible and in all sorts of different ways. But the number one way in which we encounter God is through prayer. I said on Easter Day that I'd been reading a book about prayer, which I found both exciting and challenging. In fact, all the deacons are reading it now. And if anyone else wants a really good read, I can recommend it. It's called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, this book. And in fact, John didn't realize why he got this through the post, because he hadn't had a chance to speak to us yet. But this is why, John. Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. It's by a guy called Jim Cimbala, if that's how you pronounce his name, who is the pastor, the lead pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. 25 years ago, Brooklyn Tabernacle was a struggling congregation of 20 people meeting in a broken-down church building in one of America's roughest neighborhoods. And then they began to pray. And so to quote the blurb on the back of the book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire shows what the Holy Spirit can do when believers get serious about prayer and the gospel. As this compelling book reveals, God moves in life-changing ways when we set aside our own agendas, take him at his word, and listen for his voice. Brooklyn Tabernacle, as I say, started with 20 members. They're now at 15,000. This is a book about how we are called to be, before all else, a house of prayer. Let me show you some of our holiday pictures. And this sounds like a complete digression, and it's not really. Just bear with me. We have had a really interesting couple of weeks since we were last here. Lindsay and I were on holiday for a week, and we travelled up to Orkney on the Tuesday after Easter. We had a fantastic trip. If you've never been to Orkney, I can thoroughly recommend it, although I've got to admit that the weather really helped because it was great the whole time we were there. Now, we hadn't really planned for it to be anything other than a holiday. But what it turned out to be was something much more like a sort of spiritual retreat. And that's partly because we had some really great times of prayer and worship and encouragement with Anne and Henry, the friends that we were staying with. You might remember meeting Anne and Henry when they came to worship here one Sunday about a year ago. They're from Washington State in America originally, and they felt that God was calling them to leave the States and move to Scotland. And that process finished with their move out to Orkney last November. But along the journey, we got to know them a bit in a series of highly improbable events that only make sense if you look at them and think, God was doing something here. So our time with them was great. But more than that, what we kept finding through that week was a whole series of what somebody once described as God incidences. In other words, things that you could just explain away as a coincidence, but that seem to happen more often than can reasonably be expected. Now, I can't tell you all of them, because some were quite personal, some were sort of pastoral, but let me get Lindsay up here to help me relate just a few of them. Have a seat, Lindsay. I'll give you that. Or you can stand if you prefer, whichever. So the first full day we were there, we went along to Stromness. Some of you will know that Emma's friend Karen died last year. She came from Orkney, and she was buried at the cemetery in Stromness. And Moira had asked if we would put some flowers on Karen's grave on their behalf if we were there. So we drove out to Stromness, and we found the most beautiful cemetery, graveyard, right on the shore, overlooking the sea. And we spent some time there, and we prayed. And then we went down to the beach for a walk and to enjoy the scenery. And then, Lindsay.
We stayed on the beach for a while, having a wonderful time. And then we decided we ought to leave. And on the way back up the road, Henry was ahead of us, and he was talking to a couple. And I remarked to Anne that in the short time they'd been on Orkney, they pretty much had met everybody. And she said, oh, that's Muriel and her husband. Come and meet them. So we went and chatted to George and Muriel Drever, and we were introduced to them. And Muriel, I didn't have any awareness that I'd met her before, and we'd met her before, but Muriel turned around and said, when she heard we were from Peebles, she said, but we know you, or I know you. And Muriel is Bill Spears' niece. So Muriel expressed a lot of stories about Bill, and we spoke for a while very warmly about how much Bill had meant to us as a church family, to all of you over many years, and she spoke about him. And it was a lovely chat, and George joined in very animatedly, and it was a really nice conversation. And we walked away, we got back to our car, and I said to Anne, well, that was really, you know, amazing to meet them. And she said, well, more importantly, she said, George has a, and I don't think I'm breaking any confidence here, George has a real hang-up about talking to Christians. George has had a couple of bad experiences with, he's not a believer, he supports his wife, but he's had a couple of experiences that have left him leaving a little bit reticent about liking Christians. I think we can identify probably. And he'd actually really enjoyed the chat. So Anne said, that was really important that you just had such a good conversation. So we were really encouraged by that. And Muriel passes on her regards to all of you.
So that night, we went out for a meal at an Indian restaurant in Kirkwall, where there are Britons, there are Indian restaurants. And when the food came, we gave thanks. And because Anne and Henry are Americans, they do this whole, you know, holding hands while you say grace thing, which is fine, just makes it fairly obvious what you're doing. But then one of the waiters comes over, one of the Indian waiters, and says, and I'll not try and do an Indian accent, are you Christians? I'm a Christian. And so we have a little conversation with him. And it felt like he'd hardly met any Christians since he got there. So he was really excited. And then the next day, I mean, how often have you met a Christian Indian waiter? Then the next day, Anne took us along to the Orkney Food Bank, again, in Kirkwall. Now, I'm not sure exactly why she wanted to take us to the food bank. They are not particularly involved with it. And I don't think she knew that I was involved in the Peeblesshire Food Bank. But she just had this really strong sense that we should go there for lunch. And I've got to say, they've got a fantastic setup there. But that's another story. But when we got there, we were introduced to the food bank manager, who is a woman called Rhoda. Lindsay, tell us about Rhoda.
Rhoda is an incredible woman. She's a really spirit-filled Christian. She runs the food bank incredibly competently. And we spoke to Rhoda for a few minutes, just passing pleasantries. And then when Anne said we were from Peebles, Rhoda said, well, you'll know my brother-in-law, Gordon Burse. Laura and Gordon Burse from the Evangelical Church. And she explained that Rhoda's sister was Gordon's first wife, who died very early. And this is Linda, who's gorgeous.
Linda. Oh, okay, sorry.
This is Lindy, who is Gordon's daughter, and has moved up to Orkney to live with her aunt and the family up there. So we had a great chat. We spoke about an awful lot of stuff with them, and it just made me think about Gordon and Laura, really. When we moved here, some of you will know Gillian. Our Gillian was really terribly unwell and really didn't leave the house for a year. She was probably quite psychologically and mentally unwell with the move. And everywhere I went that year, I met Laura and Gordon. And Laura and Gordon would always stop and say how much they were praying for Gillian. And Laura would always give me a big hug. And it felt like a really important relationship that we had with them at that point. We really haven't seen much of them since. But I was able to say to Rhoda, you know, how pastoral they'd been to us. And Linda, in fact, has been through a similar situation with her own emotional mental health. So we had a really nice chat with her and prayed stuff. And it's just made me think, I really need to get back in touch with Gordon and Laura, because maybe God's got another thing to do through that. But that was just another of our encounters on Orkney. Mm.
And as I say, there were other things as well, which we can't really go into the details of. Yeah. But, Lindsay, what do you think this was all about?
Well, you know, we do have lots of connections with people, but I think this was more than just coincidences, because Anne and Henry, when we arrived, had been really insistent that Ian and I would take a lot of time on our own to pray and have quiet times, and they really took quite a strongly pastoral approach to us, which was just what we needed, because we had been running around, as many of us in the church do, like headless chickens, and we're pretty exhausted. And I think we'd got to a place of dryness, really. Mm. We were pretty played out in lots of ways with our spiritual lives, I guess. And all throughout the week, with these things that happened and other things that happened, and as we left the island, actually, one Rhoda had driven all the way to the ferry port to meet us, to give us a word that she'd written down for us that she'd had while she was praying. And it was exactly about busyness and giving God time and letting him do the work. And we hadn't really shared any of that with her, so the stuff she wrote in this word for us was absolutely on the money. And as we've reflected on this and prayed, and probably this week has been a really great week for us, because we've been reminded of the importance of going back to God and not just battling on your own agenda. I think what he's been saying, and probably wants to say to all of us, particularly at this point where we're at a really interesting point as a church, if we take the time to just pause and listen to God, he's going to bring people to us that actually need to meet us all. And he's going to speak words through us that people need to hear. And I don't know about you, but I can get into my work life and my people's life and my life as a mum and just do the same things and have the same conversations. And yet if I was possibly to stop a bit more and wait on God, I think he just, for all of us, he wants to bring people into our paths. And they will hear the good news if we're willing to share it. And actually, as we've prayed this week, we've prayed every day that we would be used by God. And one of the days this week that we've been back, I dog walked with my friend who's a very strong atheist. And during that dog walk, I'm always quite careful. I have always been careful not to really talk about my faith too much, because she's a very strong atheist and you don't like to cross a line with people. But she just would not stop asking me questions about what I thought about God on the whole walk. She was like a dog with a bone and she kept wanting to know. And she kept wanting to out-argue me. And in the end, I said, I can't out-argue you. You have a PhD, for heaven's sake. You've done theology. You're really smart. All I can tell you is that God loves you and Jesus died for you. And the next 5 minutes, she did not say a thing. So that was amazing. And that same day, we met some of Gillian's, parents of Gillian's friend, and we invited them in for a coffee. And they suddenly just told us their whole story as Christians who are out of fellowship. And for the next hour, they just poured out their hearts to us. So we've been kind of blown away again by the fact that God's agenda is so right and ours can actually be too busy. And I don't know if any of you here today just feel like you're either your lives are in a bit of a rut or that you're so busy you haven't got time. But I genuinely believe that God just wants us all to just wait and see who he's going to bring to us and into our paths. And then we need to be willing to just share the good news that we all know. So that was it, really. Pretty exciting.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you. Have a seat. There was... I'm not sure where it came from. It might have been someone like Bill Hybels, but a prayer that Hybels or someone like that has said he prays every day is, Lord, let me not miss you this day. And somebody said that at some point this week, and it kept coming back to us, that idea of making sure we don't miss God's promptings at any opportunity. Let me ask another question, and you can give me an answer. What can we do for ourselves without God's power? Nothing. Thank you. I'm so glad somebody said that, because I was kind of banking on it. The thing is, you're wrong. There is lots that we can do for ourselves. In fact, let me suggest that we are constantly doing things for ourselves without God's power. In fact, it's not that you gave me the wrong answer. You just gave me the right answer to the wrong question. So let me try again with the right question. What can we do for ourselves without God's power that is worth anything? Nothing. Nothing. These last 2 weeks for Lindsay and I have been like a hint from God. In fact, no, that's way too subtle. It's like God has picked us up and banged our heads together and is saying to us, look, here is a taster of what I can do, of what I want to do. Here is what life could be like if you will just let me. If you'll just get serious about meeting with me on a daily basis, if you'll get serious about not missing my promptings. And please, please understand, this is not all about Ian and Lindsay. This is not about us being super people, because we are just the same as you. You've got to know that. What God is saying is that all this is available to all who believe in him. And by all this, I don't just mean the stuff that we've just been talking about. All this starts with God saying, your sins are forgiven. And him giving you new life and new hope and a fresh start and freedom. So all that brings us kind of right up to date with our situation here in People's Baptist Church. God has brought us to a situation where we have an opportunity to do and be something radically new. The situation with this building, with the Victoria Park Centre, isn't a hint from God. He is banging our heads together and saying to us, you are my people. You are my church. I've got plans for you. And what happened yesterday is yesterday. I want you to trust me for today and for tomorrow. Look, let me be quite blunt here. This church has been through some rough times over the years. In fact, it's felt, and I know I haven't been here for more than the last 4 years, but from all I know, it's felt a bit like we've been traveling through the wilderness for years. There have been some great bits, but there have been some rough bits too. There's been hurt, and there's been pain, and people have said things and done things that they shouldn't have. And I know that there are still people here who are holding on to those things. People who mutter and complain and harbor resentments about what's happened in the past, hold on to cynicism, refuse to forgive. And friends, that has got to stop. It's got to stop now. This building is part of our history. We've got huge amounts to give thanks to God for because of what's happened here and because of the facilities that we've enjoyed here. But right now, God is saying, enough. My church is not a building. And it's certainly not this building. This is yesterday. I'm going to show you somewhere new. In fact, I'm going to make you into something new. Something better. So, we've got a choice, People's Baptist Church. Because God won't force us to go along with his plans. We can either hold on to the past, or look back at it, just like the Israelites looked back to Egypt and complained and moaned and said, why did God make us leave? It's not fair. Or we can throw ourselves before God, call on his name, and declare our faith and trust in him and his mercy and his plans and his faithfulness and go wherever he leads us. I mentioned revival earlier, I think. I was thinking about revival anyway. If I didn't mention it, there we are. Let me just finish with this. I'm sure you've heard stories of times and places where there has been a great revival. And thousands have turned to Jesus. Have you ever wondered how often God has tried to send revival and his people have said, no thanks. I think the no thanks can come in all sorts of different forms, all sorts of different reasons, but at the end of the day, it just comes down to no thanks. And when God's people say that, God says, okay, I can wait. I can wait another 10 years. Another 20 years, another 50 years, another 100 years. I'm just longing to send my Holy Spirit to move among you and empower you and revive this church and this town and this nation. But if you say no thanks, I'll just keep on waiting. Brothers and sisters, I believe that we are at a point where God is offering to send revival among us. And I don't want to wait. Let me explain what's going to happen for the rest of this morning. In about 10 minutes, when we finish this part of the service, we're going to break for tea and coffee. And there are some sandwiches, as you've heard. There should be enough for everyone. Please don't help yourself to great mounds of sandwiches so that some people don't get any. But then we're going to gather together again to hear in a bit more detail exactly what the situation with the building is. But much more importantly, to hear from you if you feel that God has given you something to share this morning. And then we're going to pray specifically about what God's plans are for us. We're not going to form plans and come up with great ideas this morning because that's not our job. Our job is to call on God's name. Before that, though, in a moment we're going to share communion together. That's a time when we remember the lengths that God went to bring us back into relationship with him, to deal with our sin, to deal with all the brokenness of our lives. And for some of you, that might be a great opportunity to respond to him today as you eat the bread and drink the wine and as you reflect on what God has been saying to you this morning. Take the time to encounter God and tell him what it is you need to say. But some of you might need to make a more specific, more open response. For some people here, it might be that you want to give your life to Jesus Christ for the first time today. To ask him into your life to be your master and your savior and your Lord. And you can do that this morning. Or you might need to let go of the past. There might be things that are holding you back from fully devoting yourself to God. Maybe God has spoken to you about the burden that you are dragging around with you. And his offer to you is, leave it right now at the foot of the cross.